It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I count it an honor. I'm going to turn this thing on.
There we go.
Thank you, preacher. It's a privilege to be able to preach anytime I get to preach, but I count it a special honor to be able to preach in this church because I love my pastor and he preaches the word that he has confidence in me to follow the Lord, and to preach means a lot to me, and I mean that. I love my church. Thank God for what he's done for us. Amen. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. Thank God for dying on the cross. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. Thank him for forgiveness. Thank him for just hanging there and suffering and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank God for what he's done for us, preacher. Thank God for an old-fashioned church. I'm not ashamed to say I'm an old-time religion. I'm young. I'm an old soul at heart, but I thank God that I've got a church that believes in the old time way. We sing hymns. We preach from the King James Bible. That is far, far, few and far between nowadays, and I thank God for my church. Thank God for my pastor. I thank God for what he's done for me. I'm undeserving of what God has done in my life. I could stand up here for 45 minutes, probably an hour, and just say, thank God. Thank God, thank God. And some of y'all would probably love it. Some of y'all would probably start weeping. Some of y'all would probably start thanking God in your own heart. Some of y'all would think, man, that is annoying. He needs to sit down. But think about every time you sin and God has to say, I'm going to forgive him. I'm a forgiver. I'm going to be long-suffering on this one. And even when he chastens you and he punishes you and he chastises you, it's because he loves you. It's because he cares for you. Jesus loves us more than anybody else in this world. As I've had the opportunity to travel and preach, I hear this statement said all the time. Do you got God? Do you have God? Do you got God? And I'll even say it, Brother Barry, I don't want to hear somebody preach if they ain't got a little bit of God on them. But I'm going to ask you tonight, does God have you? You see, we accept Christ as our Savior, and I can confidently say that I have God. I've got God living inside of me. And I hope this is a Sunday night crowd. I would say most of you are saved and you got God living inside of you. But I'm going to ask you tonight, does God have you? After salvation, after you get God, does God have you? I think of Abraham. And Abraham, God didn't want Isaac. God wanted the faithfulness of Abraham. God said, give me your son that I gave you, your only child. And Abraham was willing to give Isaac to the Lord. God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham, and he wanted to see if Abraham would say, you know what, you can have anything in my life. You can have anything you want from me. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of Psalms tonight, Psalms 119. I was studying this out a little while back, and I preached it actually a little bit different than this a couple months ago at a youth rally, but I believe the Lord has laid it upon my heart to preach it a little different way tonight, and I pray that I'd be understanding. Psalm 119, I love this chapter. It's just a little bitty chapter. I figured we'd go through the whole thing tonight. I'm just kidding. Those of you that didn't think that was funny, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in your Bible. Psalm 119, the Bible says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to the word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life, God. I thank you for giving me the opportunity tonight to preach, Lord. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot do it in my flesh, Lord. I pray that you'd fill me with the power from another world, God. Fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Help me to be understanding, Lord. I pray that there be anybody lost in the building tonight, that they would not leave without accepting you as their personal Savior. If there be one in the far country, I pray that they'd come back to you tonight. If there be one that just needs to get a little bit closer to you, that they'd get a little bit of help tonight, Lord. I pray that you would relay what you have put on my heart to the people. I'll give you all the glory and all the honor, Lord. It's in Jesus' sweet holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said before, I hear all the time having the opportunity to travel and preach, and I get to sit at these preacher fellowships, and all these men sit around, and they always say, man, I don't want to hear nobody preach without, if they ain't got God, if they ain't got God, if they ain't got God. But I found that it became a problem when a lot of times as American Christians, I'm going to be very down to earth tonight. I'm trying to be very simple, and I believe the Lord has laid something simple on my heart tonight. How to be blessed as a Christian, and then a little later on in the chapter I see how to stay blessed is by keeping the way clear and how to keep that way clear in your Christian life. I realized that as American Christians, we get saved and we get God, and then all of a sudden we become in control. After we get saved, we become in charge again. So there for that one night, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a couple months, we get a hold of God and we let God save our soul from hell, and we're grateful and we're thankful for that. But then we get in this position where we think, I can do this because I've got God. But whatever happened to God can do this because I'm going to let God take me where he wants me to go. I know God can do this because God's going to do what he wants to do with me. God's going to lead me and God's going to direct me. And it's not about anything that I can do. Because, friend, in our flesh, we can do nothing. We're bound for hell in our flesh. We can do absolutely nothing on our own. We need Jesus Christ. I heard a preacher one time tell me, he said, what you do with the words of this book will determine what God does with you. What we do with the words of this book, you know what this book tells me? This book tells me in Psalm 119, it said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. When I hear that word undefiled, I think of Daniel over there. Earlier on in the New Old Testament, he says he has purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. In order to be undefiled, you will have to do some things that are a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. You'll have to be the one that stands out, the one that's not going with the crowd, the one that's not doing what everybody else is doing. I'm talking about to have a blessed life with the Lord. The Lord will chasten you and he will chastise you, but he doesn't always need to be the one coming after you and whipping your tail. After a while, growing up, when I got whipped over and over and over again, after a while, me and my dad grew a bond. And I didn't have to get whipped all the time anymore. I respected him and I loved him and I listened to what he said to me. God is the same way with us. God wants to bless your life. But there are some things as a Christian that's your responsibility to do in order to get those blessings, in order to have that life that is blessed. I'm not saying it's always going to be butterflies and rainbows if you live the best that you can. But if you want to see the true blessings of God in your life, you have some responsibilities. Daniel made a choice in his flesh. Daniel made a choice to say, I'm not going to go after what everybody else wants, what the world wants to do, what everybody around me is doing. Even in the church house today, we're all wicked, filthy, rotten little pieces of trash that commit sin each and every day. And I'm a low-down dog just like the rest of y'all. And I'm telling you, if you want to see the blessings of God in your life, one of the responsibilities that we have, and I know that it's simple, but we have to choose to be undefiled. We have to choose and not to put ourselves in some positions to make mistakes. We have to choose and not to put ourselves in a position where maybe we know we're going to sin, yet we still choose to put ourselves in that position. We have to choose to be undefiled. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. I think about giving myself to God. I cannot give myself to God if I don't give God my entire heart. If I don't give God my whole heart, he doesn't have all of me. He will not have all of me unless God has my whole heart. Amen. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. There was a day and time when Christians sought the face of God.
There was a day and time where I watch videos of Brother Ed Ballou preaching, and I can hear people in the background crying out to God, old saints of God. I had the opportunity to preach at a youth rally the last two nights, and I was way down there in North Carolina, and there was an old saint of God in the church, Brother Barry. It was a lady. She was about 98 years old, and she sought the face of God. She came to a youth rally, okay? A youth rally, 98 years old. It came to a youth rally, and I could hear her praying for me as I was preaching. She was seeking the face of God for the people in that building. There was a day and time where God's people sought His face. What happened? What happened? We live in this American flippant Christianity where we get saved and then we do whatever we want. We get saved and then we do whatever you want, whatever I want. Let me tell you something. The Christian life is not whatever you want. You cannot do whatever you want. You cannot live the way that your flesh wants to live. That's the harsh reality of the Christian life, friend. If you want to get the blessings that God has for you, I think of David. And David had a giant opportunity, and that was to take down that giant. But David had to be right with God in order to get to that giant opportunity that God had planned for him. He had to prepare for that battle. He had to be faithful in the field with the sheep. And David had to prepare for his giant opportunity. Maybe God has a plan for you. Maybe you're called to preach and you haven't surrendered yet. Or maybe God's called you to teach or do something, and God has a giant, huge, magnificent opportunity for you. And you're not even choosing to live right enough with God to where you're going to miss that opportunity. You're going to miss that blessing in your life. God forbid you miss the perfect will of God because you're choosing to live in sin. You as a Christian, knowing right from wrong, choosing to go the way of the world. I see that this chapter also says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." I'm not ashamed to say that I love God. I'm not ashamed to say that I'm an independent fundamental Baptist, okay? I know that's got a bad connotation to it, but doctrinally, that's what I am. I'm an independent Baptist. I'm a King James, premillennial, dispensational, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm a Bible believer. That's what I am. And I'm not ashamed to go out in this world and say I'm a Bible believer. I travel and preach, and I hang around these teenagers all the time, and I hang around these church members. I can't be ashamed of the gospel, Brother Tony. I can't be afraid to share it. God has called me to preach it. And I'm going to ask you something. The Bible just told me that you will be ashamed if you don't respect God's commandments. The reason some of y'all are ashamed to share the gospel is because you don't really respect God. You don't really respect His commandments. You don't really respect this book. You don't really respect what God has for you. That's why you're ashamed. It's easy to come into the church and sit in the pew and live perfect for a couple hours. But the sad part, preacher, is if I went home with every one of you one day, I could tell you within about 2 hours which ones are real and which ones are fake. I can tell because I'll know who's ashamed of the gospel and I'll know who's not ashamed of the gospel. And my Bible just told me in simple words that if you don't respect God's commandments, then you will be ashamed of the Word of God. That means all the commandments. That means everything God's given us to do. That means everything God's told us is wrong. You have to respect every rule that God has given us. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But you will be ashamed of the Savior that died on the cross for you if you do not respect what He has given us. If you do not respect His commandments. If you do not respect the man who died for you on a cross. I personally can't even understand that. But you will be ashamed to share the greatest news this world has ever known. Amen. The calling God has put on my life, I'm extremely undeserving, but I'm so grateful for it. I get to go around and tell people that Jesus loves them. And some people think I'm a mean preacher, and that's okay. I get kind of mean sometimes. But let me tell you something. Jesus does love you more than anybody in this world. There's no reason for you to be ashamed to share the Word of God. There's no reason for you to be ashamed to share the gospel with somebody. But you know why? You know, even on a Sunday night, you know why some of y'all are ashamed and some of y'all don't like preaching? Because you're living in sin actively. And it's bitter. Every time you hear it, it's bitter, it hurts, it cuts you. Every time the preacher gets behind the pulpit, every time Brother Lawson gets up there and he cuts a sin in half and you're living in that sin, that's going to be bitter to you. And some of us can come in here and we can enjoy the house of God because we're choosing to live right. And it's not always easy. But the reason you're ashamed of the gospel, the reason you don't like it, is because you're actively living in sin. Therefore, the preaching is bitter every time you hear the preaching. For some of us, it's sweet. For some of us, it's like manna from heaven. God, give me the manna. Oh, God, that's sweet. When preacher was talking about the cross this morning, I started weeping. I said, thank God for the cross. Thank God for saving me. Thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God. But some of y'all were probably sitting out there and you were squirming because you're living in sin. And you haven't even asked for forgiveness of what you're doing. And you know you're actively living in sin. And you don't get to understand what it feels like for us to be like, thank God for the manna. Thank God for the sweet savor. And thank God for the sweetness in my mouth. Thank God for the sweetness in my heart. Because we're choosing to live for God. It's worth it. It's worth it. We've got a preacher that studies the Bible, that preaches with power, that has anointing on his life. There's no reason that you should come into this house and not feel the manna from heaven sometimes. Now, sometimes he's got to shear the sheep, Brother John. Sometimes he's got to. That's his job. He's got to. If God tells him to preach it hard, he's got to preach it hard. But there's no reason for you to be coming in here all the time and never getting some manna from heaven. That tells me that you're living in sin. Amen. And that's why you're ashamed of the gospel of Christ out there in this world. Amen. You won't be ashamed if you respect His word. You won't be ashamed if you respect His commandments. How do I know that? My Bible just told me that. This book just told me that. I'll look a little further on, and I want to think about this way that God has given us. Okay, God has given you a path. God has a plan for your life. Everybody. God's got a specific purpose for your life. He's got a specific purpose for mine. Amen. And there is a way that can be clear. And there is a way that can be understanding. But it takes some effort and it takes a little bit of work in your Christian life in order to see the way clear. You've got to follow the lamp that God's put below your feet, and you've got to keep the path. You can't let the shrubs grow over. You can't let the trees fall down in the way. You've got to keep it clear. And this chapter tells me how to keep it clear. Verse number 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, don't get caught up in the fact that it says a young man. This can apply to everybody. This can apply to everybody in here tonight. Amen. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I see four things in those verses. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight, those four things. How to keep clear the path God has given us. How to stay in the will of God. How to know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. There are four things I see in this passage, Brother Tony. And I hope that it makes sense. It's very simple. These are things that I was taught when I was in like first grade. Okay? This isn't Brother Tony's type of teaching. Okay? This is little old Lucas type of teaching. But I see in verse number 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? But we're going to say, I just want to tell you, this applies to everybody. Don't get caught off that it says a young man. By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. You're going to have to heed to the word of God. Amen. In order to have a clear path In order to know that you're in the will of God, in order to know that you're walking in the right direction, in order not to get completely lost in the darkness and in the wilderness, you will have to heed to the Word of God. We've got Christians, even in here tonight, I'm not fooled by a Sunday night crowd, but we've got Christians that are good at coming in, they're good at being faithful, maybe to the church house, but you're not actually heeding to the Word of God. You're not heeding to what the preacher has preached to you. You're not heeding to what you're reading in the scripture. You're not heeding to maybe the song that God used to prick your little heart. You're not heeding to what God has put upon the pastor to preach to you. And he's giving you direction and he's giving you guidance. And you still choose not to heed the Word of God. Why do I say it's so important to heed to the Word of God? Because I do not like it when God punishes me. And I love it when he blesses me. And I love it when God's on my side. And I love it when I've got a sweet relationship with Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you don't heed to the Word of God, that relationship will never be right. If you've got that parent or that grandparent or that preacher in your life that keeps telling you, maybe he keeps preaching on that one thing, and maybe you're the only one that hears it in every message, and he's saying, hey, don't do that. And God is the one saying, hey, don't do that. Hey, quit that. Hey, you better heed to the warning I'm giving you. You better heed. You better get out of that sin. You better quit committing that sin. You better get out of this. You better stop. You better stop. You better stop. Your way in life is going to get real confusing if you don't heed to the Word of God. The bushes are going to grow over. The storms are going to come. And tree limbs are going to fall in the path. And you're going to get lost in the darkness without heeding to the Word of God. Without heeding to this perfect, precious book. Without heeding to what God has given you. You will get lost in the darkness. We have to heed to the Word of God. I see in verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. With my whole heart. With my whole heart, Brother Barry. That's a lot easier said than done, ain't it? With my whole heart. With the entire thing. With the entire thing. It took me years to learn what it meant to give God my whole heart. And it's only been a couple of years since he's had it. I was saved. I was even preaching. But I didn't give God my whole heart until a couple years ago. I'll tell you where I was. I was laying on the floor over here. I laid down on my face, prostrate on the ground, right here. And God was working on my heart. And God was pricking my heart. And God was talking to me. And he was saying, you know what? You've given me about 80%. And I want that last 20% of your life. That means giving God everything that you have. He gave it to you. Why can't you give it back? God wants you. God wants to lead you. God has a clear path for you. God is the one that loves you more than anybody else. Why wouldn't you let him have you? I don't understand. You're like a little kid. And I remember as a little kid, I was a bad little kid. And when we would go to Sam's Club and stuff like that, yeah, my dad would have to watch my two brothers. He'd actually hold them by the head because they'd run off and stuff. Well, I would run off because, you know, he was watching those two. And I distracted mom and then I'm gone. Well, I'd get lost in Sam's Club or Lowe's, wherever we were. And then I'd start crying. Where's my mom? Where's my dad? I'm lost now. I'm lost now. Why aren't we like that with God? We think we can do it all on our own. God wants your entire heart. God wants everything that you have. He gave it to you. Why can't you give it back? He gave you that talent. Miss Heather, God gave you that voice. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you give that voice back to him, he'll perform that work through you, and then it'll have God on it. Amen. And then it'll make a difference in people's lives. A preacher, God called preacher to preach, and he's capable of preaching. I believe with all my heart that preacher gave God all the ability God gave him, and then God uses that through him. And it makes a difference. I can't do it on my own. Oh, Brother Tony, you can teach, but you're not going to be able to teach it on your own. You've got to give that ability back to God. And God has to perform that work through you. And it's not just preachers. It's not just singers. It's every Christian under the sound of my voice. We are called to give everything God's given us back to God and let God perform that work through us. Otherwise, we're going to get confused. We're going to get lost. I see so many Christians get lost out there. They get confused in the darkness at some point down the road. And sometimes we're like, what happened? What happened? It's because God didn't have their entire heart. Does God have your whole heart? Or is money just a little too important for you?
Yeah, that's it.
Or is that fornication you're in just a little too important for you?
Yeah.
Or if that pornography you're watching, is that just a little too important to you? Is that lady you're flirting with on the job site, if that man you're flirting with out there at work, is that just a little more important to you? Is whatever sin you're living in, is that gossip, tailbearing, whatever sin you're living in, is that just a little bit more important to you than giving God everything you've got? Or is maybe if I give God everything, I'll have to quit my job. And maybe if I give God everything, deep down inside, I know God's called me maybe to preach. And you're sitting in here tonight. Or maybe God, I know God has called me to be a teacher at the church. I know that's what God wants me to do. Why don't you just give it up to God already? It is so quiet in here. That's insane. Why don't you just give your whole heart to God? I didn't have complete peace, Brother Tony, until I gave it all to God. I didn't have complete peace until I laid down on that floor and said, God, you can have it all. God, you can take it all. God, you can have the money. God, you can have my job. God, you can have the clients. God, you can have my truck. I'm talking about everything. God, you can have the suit. You can have the tie. You can have the wallet. You can have the shoes. You can have the boots. You can have the ability to work. You can have my talents. You can have my skill set. You can have my mind. God, you can have absolutely everything I've got. And then I got peace. And then I got some joy. And then I got something that nothing in this world could ever replace. And sometimes Satan creeps up. And I end up taking back about 5%. I'm talking about little things. Like, I forgot to read my Bible a couple days. And that's taken from it. Friend, that's taken from it. How are you going to heed to the Word if you're not reading the Word? I take that 5% and I go about 2 or 3 weeks, and all of a sudden Satan's like, you ain't worth nothing. Yeah. Satan gets on my back. And things start happening in my life, and I've got to remember it's because I've taken 5% back. I'm asking you tonight, does God have you? I mean, does God have all of you? Or do you got that one thing that you're just leaving, you know, to yourself, or you know you'd have to give that up if you gave it all to God? Or does God have all of you? Your way will be a lot more clear if you give God your whole entire heart. If you give God your entire life, your way will be clear. You will have joy. There will be peace unspeakable. I can't even explain the joy that God puts in my soul. But I didn't get it until I gave God everything in my life. I see heeding, I see a whole heart, and I see thy word have I hid in my heart. Isn't it crazy how the whole chapter talks about your heart? It talks about your heart posture. It wants to know what your heart posture is. It wants to know where your heart's at. So I'm asking you, where's your heart? Is it in here? Is it really with God? Or is it out there somewhere? Where's your heart? Thy word. I memorized this verse in kindergarten at Temple Baptist Church, Temple Baptist Academy in Powell. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How are you going to live the way God has intended you to live if you're not hiding the word in your heart? You cannot live the Christian life without daily Bible reading. I know it's Sunday school stuff. This is little elementary school stuff. But you cannot live the Christian life without daily reading your Bible.
Amen.
The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. When you get out there in this world and something comes against you and something comes at you and you need to remember something, thank God the one thing that I sometimes remember is a verse in this Bible that tells me that God's in control, that God's got it in his hands, that God's going to take care of me. I'm telling you something, in order to live the Christian life, in order to keep the way clear in your life, you will have to hide this book in your heart. Amen. And you'll never hide it in your heart if God doesn't have your whole heart. It all goes together. God's word makes sense. And it's simple. But we choose, Brother Sean, we choose not to give it to God. We choose not to give what God wants. And sometimes it comes with some suffering. Sometimes choosing God is not always the easy thing to do. In fact, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. Galatians 5 tells us that we crucify our flesh. Yeah. That we give up what we want. But Romans 8 tells me that I reckon for the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared. Are not to be compared of the glory. Brother Barry, I heard you say it. To not be compared with the glory that one day when I'm in heaven with Jesus Christ, I can't compare the sufferings of this world with the glory I'm going to have with Jesus one day. I say it's worth it. I'd say it's worth it. Jesus is the one that loves me the most anyways. You got to hide that word in your heart. Amen. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to be rooted. You've got to be grounded in this book. And the last one is the hardest one, especially for old people. I'm just saying, when I point it out, you're going to agree with me, Pastor. It's hard for my age people too. I'll admit that. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me thy statutes." He says, "Teach me." We've got to be teachable. And what happens is I'm the same way. Sometimes I'm like, I know. I don't really know. I don't. I just say it. But I don't know. We've got to be teachable in order for God to lead us. We've got to be teachable in order to see the way God has planned for us. I see 9 times throughout Psalm 119, which has 176 verses in it, 9 times does it refer back to teach me. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. It teach me, and then it talks about the enemies coming. It talks about how God's going to protect me. But God, you've got to teach me. God, you've got to teach me. You know what the problem is? We got these old people in the church nowadays that think they know everything about the Bible. Yeah. That's not true. You can always be taught something. With our pastor, you can definitely be taught something. But even preacher can be taught. Even preacher learns. He reads books. He does things. He learns the Bible. Brother Tony went to college. You're still getting your master's degree, I believe. He's learning. He's being taught. We have to be teachable. Amen. You have to be teachable. You don't know everything. I don't care how much wisdom you have. I don't care how much discernment you have. I don't care. You can still be taught something. And God needs to be teaching you daily. I beg God every day for discernment, and I beg God for wisdom. But God needs to teach me every hour of every day. I say, God, teach me something. God, show me something. God, learn me something. I need to learn your book more every day of my life. In order to be in the will of God, you have to be teachable. You have to be willing to say, God, teach me something. God, show me something. But don't just come in here to come in here. Come in here and say, God, teach me something. God, teach me something. I'm not ignorant. I know that when I get up here, I wouldn't doubt if some of y'all are like, man, he's just a young guy. You know, I can't learn nothing from him. That's not true. And it's not me. But when God reveals something to me in the scripture, maybe you can learn something.
That's right.
And you're too stubborn to learn it. And you all high and mighty, and you're sitting on your high horse, and you think you know everything because you're older and because you're a little bit wiser, and you probably are wiser. You probably do have more discernment. But let me tell you something. God used a donkey in the Old Testament, friend. Yeah. God used a donkey in the Old Testament to show somebody something. God can use me. God uses preacher all the time. God uses Brother Tony. You have to be teachable. We've got so many Christians that think they know everything. That irritates the fire out of me. God, it irritates me. You know why I love you, Brother John? And don't get a hot head now. But I love you. I respect Brother Barnhart. We text back and forth about 3 o'clock in the morning. And he texts me some study notes, and then I'll text him some back, and I love it. I enjoy it. But Brother Barnhart, I see all these attributes in this man. I see that he hides the word in his heart. I see that he heeds to the word of God. But most importantly, my favorite one is I see that he's teachable. This is a faithful man that I look up to and I respect. And he's still teachable. He still lets pastor teach him. He still listens to me when I preach. He's still teachable. And that's why he's prospering in life. That's why God has blessed his family. That's why he's got a sweet little grandbaby. That's why he's got the daughter-in-laws that he has. Because God has blessed him because he's heeding to the word of God. He's following the word of God. He's hiding the word in his heart. And he's still teachable. We have to be teachable, church. We have to be teachable. We'll be stale. We'll get stagnant if we're not teachable. That's why some of these old men of God, they still got power because they're still teachable. They're still teachable. I'll sit down and I'll talk to Brother Roger. Brother Roger Lee, he's not here tonight, but I'll sit down and I'll talk to him. We'll talk about the scripture, and he'll admit it. He'll say, man, I didn't see that. But that's good. And then he says something to me and he teaches me something. I would say the reason that man still got God dripping all over him is because he's still teachable. He hasn't reached the max. He hasn't maxed out and limited himself to say, I know it all. I'm 70 years old. I know it all. We have to be teachable. We have to stay in the word of God. This book, verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will not forget thy word. How do you memorize something? By doing it over and over and over and over and over again.
That's right.
You've got to be in this book every single day of your life. I told you it was simple tonight. And it was. You've got to stay in this book. Maybe I'd be a fool. I'd be a fool to think that in here tonight, some of y'all are probably living in sin. Some of it's probably wicked as hell. Some of y'all are probably confused and you're distracted by the world and your way is not clear and you don't know which direction to go and you don't know what God's wanting you to do. You know what you need? You need to start reading this book. You need to start reading this Bible. You need to let this Bible, you don't only need to read it, but you need to let it prick your heart.
Amen. Amen.
This is a sword. This is a sword. And we as a church, we need to destroy the sin in our community. But we've got so much sin going on in here that we're not going to make no effect out there. So we need some people of God to have a clear way in their life. We need some people that clear the way in their life and they hide the word in their heart. And I would say most importantly is to understand that this is a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is.
You know why I'm not scared to preach, Brother Barry? I used to be intimidated to preach. You know why I'm not scared? Because I actually read my Bible now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I was 16 years old preaching, and then I could read a psalm and preach it for 30 minutes just fine. I could get up there and not read it till I get up there and preach it just fine. But when I actually started reading the Word of God, when I actually started studying this book, I realized that this does have power, that this does give me some authority. I ain't scared of no man. This is a double-edged sword. That is my guideline for life. I'm not afraid to cut your sin right in half, friend. I ain't afraid to cut your head off with this book. I ain't scared. This book's got power that will defend me and that will protect me. And you may think it's a joke, but I'm being dead serious. This book, it gives me authority that nothing in this world will ever give me. I could be a pastor of a church, and you ain't going to have the authority you're supposed to have if you're not in this book.
Amen.
I think of Phinehas over there in Numbers, chapter number 25.
Amen.
There's sin going on. You know what I'm talking about? There's sin going on in the camp. God's wrath is kindled against his own people. Okay? And God's about to take out his own people because his wrath has been kindled against the sin. The men were taking women into the tents and doing as they pleased. This is in Numbers 25. You can go home and read it when you get home and know that it's true. And sin was being done in that camp, but there was a young man named Phinehas. Everybody was standing back and watching. They were letting that sin go on. They were saying, oh, my name's Bennett and I ain't in it. That's not my problem. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. But there's a young man named Phinehas who said, No, I've got a God that told me that's wrong.
Amen.
I've got a man. I am a man that God has told me that that is not right. And he picked up a javelin. And he heard, this is kind of gruesome. He picked up a spear and he ran into the tent where people were committing fornication and committing sin, and he stabbed the spear through their heart and he took out that sin. You know what would happen if we as Christians would read this book and get some authority in our lives and understand that this book's got some power and we use it as a double-edged sword like God intended it to be, and we could go around and we could cut sin in half like that? By God, if we'd have some church members that read this book and said, man, that is a sword. You know what? That person's committing sin. Shink. I'm being serious. Oh, are you kidding me? That's a sin against my God. Shink. Oh my goodness, they're committing that sin. It's not a my name's Bennett and I'm not in it type of thing. It's a your responsibility type of thing. But you're not going to know when to do it, when not to do it.
Amen.
If your way's not clear.
Amen.
And if God isn't hidden inside that heart.
Amen.
But this book, God, I love this book. Whew, this is my best friend. This book is my best friend. It goes everywhere with me. It's in my truck when I drive my truck. It's in my car when I drive my car. It goes with me when I go hunting. It goes with me when I go fishing. This book goes everywhere with me. This book is my best friend. And Psalm 119 tells me that I need to know this book. And I need to hide this book in my heart. And I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't have known that if I didn't read this to know it. We need some Christians. Even on a Sunday night. We need some Christians to give their whole heart to God.
Amen.
And to have some confidence in their Christianity. Have some confidence in Jesus. But you're not going to have it if you don't give God your whole heart. I understand that you might have God and that you're saved and he's living in your heart. But I'm asking you if you've let God have you completely. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life, God. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach your word. I'm undeserving. God, I pray that I was understanding tonight, Lord, I pray that if there be anybody in here that's got a confused, darkened pathway, that they would come to an altar tonight and that they would pray and get right with you and understand that you love them more than anybody in this world, and that the answers that they need are at your feet and they're with you and they're in your word. You're good to us, God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for everything you've given me, Lord. Keep my way clear, Father. I love you. I'll give you all the honor and all the glory. It's in your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.